News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Valerie Cox is with us, author and journalist. And Valerie is bringing us up to speed on some of the stories you may not yet have seen and giving analysis on some of those that you have. We start with former President Michael D. Higgins, who has not gone quietly into that good night. He is calling on Ireland to recover the moral standing of the EU during the presidency.
Yes.
Just pull that mic in front of you, Valerie.
Sorry. Yes, this was at Trinity College last night, where he was speaking at, he was part of a panel of experts, and it was convened by the Irish-Palestinian Alliance, SADACA. So I just think this is so interesting and so like the man. We're going into the EU presidency, and he was trying to say that the EU, what he said was, the EU needs to recover its moral standing. Now, he put into words those uncomfortable feelings we all have when we hear politicians avoiding the herd of elephants in the room, literally. And he particularly honed in on the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, because Micheál Martin told The Dáil this week that there could be significant job losses in US multinational companies based in Ireland if trade in services with illegal settlements in Palestine is prohibited. Now, he dismissed the potential economic impacts of the original Occupied Territories Bill as quite exaggerated. But I think, you know, he's speaking for a lot of people. When we hear all of this happening and we hear somebody like the Taoiseach coming in and saying, hold on now, lads, you know, we have the Occupied Territories Bill, but we mightn't go quite as far as we should. I mean, it's just such an interesting topic and such an important one. And I mean, what came to mind there really was Edmund Burke's statement, you know, all that we need for evil to thrive is for good people to say absolutely nothing. He also talked about, he criticised capitalism's influence. And he said, you know, the one regret he had from his own political career was that he wasn't more explicit about the catastrophic effects of capitalism and an abuse of power and the havoc that it has done. And he even said, when he was talking about Donald Trump's so-called Board of Peace, which again he criticised, actually he condemned Donald Trump for this. And he said, I like to call a land grab for what it is, and that is what is proposed. So I think, you know, he was very, very definite about this. And even afterwards, you know, people wonder, what can I do? I'm not a politician. You know, I'm not a leader. What can I do? And he was asked a question after the talk by a member of the audience. And they said, how did he feel about the upcoming football match between Ireland and Israel? And he said, I will not be attending the game, nor would I.
Do you fear that other members of the European Union may get weary of our desire to take the high moral ground and explain to them how they should live their lives?
Well, they'll either get very tired of it, Anton, or they'll come round to our way of thinking. And I imagine that is where Michael D is coming from. You know, this is he has laid out the moral and ethical criteria that we should be taking in the EU presidency. And I just think it's a wonderful thing to do, because so many nations, so many leaders, so many politicians are terrified of their own shadows.
Now, 53106, if you have a view, or 087 1400 106. We move now to this man.
And it's no day and never. No day, never, no more will I play the wild rover.
Not Ronnie, the other fella, Luke.
Luke.
He's being desecrated.
He has been desecrated, Anton. And this is something that's happening to statues and has happened for hundreds of years, if you like. But particularly in the modern era, say the last 20 years, we've had awful desecration going on to various statues. And, you know,
but Luke has been particularly victimised. This is the Luke Kelly down by Sheriff Street. They were drawing spectacles on him for a long time. They only gave that up a while ago.
Painting them on,
yeah,
actually,
they had
which
to
is even worse.
Yeah.
I blame.
What are they doing to him now?
Well, I'm blaming the artist Vera Clute for a bit of this, because if you look at the statue down on the north side, it's got all his wonderful,
it's gorgeous
hair.
Yeah.
It's absolutely
it's a fabulous
beautiful
piece of work.
But they're thin pieces of copper wire. So what's happening is people are going in and taking souvenirs. Now, I don't think it's all tourists. Yes, certainly. They're to blame for some of it. And in fact, they're to blame for quite a bit of stuff around Dublin.
They're plucking him.
They're plucking him. They're shaving him. They're taking bits of his hair and his beard. And this is awful.
Not the beard.
The beard. And, you know, it's only been there since 2019. And it's an awful way to treat him. I mean, as you said, the paint, the sunglasses. And also, they've been attacking his other statue down in South King Street. So, you know, that's been in trouble as well.
Have they?
Oh, yes, they have.
He looks fierce pained in that one on King Street, doesn't he?
Well, if you were putting up with this now, wouldn't you look fierce pained? I think another person who looks fierce pained is Molly Malone. Poor Molly Malone. I mean, her statue in Suffolk Street. I blame the tour guides for this. The tour guides bring people along to the statue and they say, now, would you ever have a grope of our breasts and you'll come back to Dublin? It's a bit like the Trevi Fountain. Just have a go at her. I mean, it's absolutely awful. They've damaged
her. Did she not have personal security for a while to protect her?
Oh, she still does. She still does.
Does she?
Yeah. But what they actually did was they damaged the patina by rubbing her body far too much. And they also damaged the pins that are holding her there by, you know, climbing on and having a grope. So she had to undergo emergency stabilisation and restoration. Now, it's a very interesting situation because she was very well loved and she still is.
Evidently.
I mean, in Ireland, in Dublin, we're great at giving these people nicknames. For example, hers was the tart on the cart, the trollop with the scallop, the dolly in the trolley. And the only good thing I thought that came out of this, if you like, was the Mary Keating Foundation actually added a lump to her breasts to remind people about the importance of breast examination. So, I mean, I thought that was probably
we're not
a very
good,
good
with
thing.
Statuary, though, in Dublin. Sure, didn't we do the same with the floozy in the jacuzzi?
Oh, the
they
poor
used to put
floozy, Anne Olivia.
Washing up liquid in her.
They used to put washing up liquid in, and it looked quite wonderful, actually, at the time, if you ever saw it happening. But this is the reclining woman. She was symbolising the River Liffey and, of course, the character in Finnegan's Wake. But she was removed from O'Connell Street in 2001. Now, most people think it was due to vandalism, but it wasn't. It was actually to build the spire. And she's now going into the Croppy's Acre. That's the memorial park.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen what they've done with her up there? They've taken away her backrest.
Yeah. And they've taken away the water.
So she's in a permanent sit up in the dry.
Yeah. It's awful, actually, what they've done to it. I mean, if you take away a bit of a statue and the way it was organised. And the other one I want to mention is Nelson's Pillar, because we, you know, those of us who are around remember that it was on the 8th of March in 1966, my birthday. And after school that day, a whole gang of us went down to have a look at it. And I'll just tell you the difference with security now. We went down and there were two guardi with a rope around the blown up statue. And every time the guards walked to the other side, we ran in and grabbed bits of the statues.
And are the rumours true? I remember being told that the IRA did some significant damage, but that it was once the Irish Army got hold of it, they really blew it into pieces.
The plinth was left. And the army went in a few days later to blow up the plinth because they thought it was dangerous. And they did far more damage. And I always remember there was an ad hanging on one of the shops there for Odearest mattresses with a little old lady. And it was obviously made of some form of metal. But whatever they did, it damaged it. And she was hanging off the building there for a long time.
Lastly, scientists have finally worked out how pigeons manage to navigate, and it's all to do with the liver.
It is. Now, I was fascinated by this because we know that pigeons have been used as homing pigeons, even during the war years and everything.
One of them got a Victoria Cross, I think, in the Second World War.
For delivering secret messages behind lines, because obviously they didn't have mobiles. Now, this is the liver. They reckon that there is something in the liver which makes it a magnetic compass for these birds so that they can find their way home. So a bunch of scientists in the university in Bonn decided they'd look into this. Now, this new study has searched for magnetic clues that might be hanging around inside the bird's liver and also inside the bird's spleen. And the immune cells, you see, they're in the nerve fibres in the liver. Now, I don't understand how it works. I'm not sure they do either. But the whole point about it is this iron-rich liver is giving them the ability to find their way wherever they're going. Now, they do it, they could be using different techniques for different jobs. For example, they sense these magnetic fields depending on the task, whether it's travelling long distances or a specific destination, or if they want to swoop on an ice cream, grab a sandwich, or even if they're just dropping their chalky bird pee on your shiny new car paint. This is how it works, and they can do all these different things simply because of this.
Fabulous, Valerie. Thank you so much. That is Valerie Cox, 53106 if you want to get in touch, or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.